You're listening to WMIE, Coco, Merritt Island, Melbourne, Titusville, and the Beaches, 91.5 FM, as well as W272BA, Coco Beach, and Vieira, FM 102.3.
You're listening to the latest edition of Truth That Transforms with Pastor Bo DeFrana.
We don't want to cultivate discouragement in the hearts of our child. That breaks our heart to think that we would have done that to them. So that's why we learn like this from the Word of God. Now we know the answer to the why. Why not provoke your children to anger or to wrath? Well, because when you do, when you're unreasonable or your temper's uncertain or those demands are too high and too much and all those sorts of things, you are discouraging the child. The child's getting a discouraged disposition, and that's going to be very difficult to undo.
The Bible rarely tells us what to do without also a why behind it. In today's message, Pastor Bo discusses fatherhood and the role dads play in the lives of their children. The Bible is full of advice on how to raise, love, and care for your children. One of these bits of advice is, do not provoke your child. But the Bible goes on to tell you why not. When you provoke your children, they'll become bitter, angry, or disappointed. Seek patience and wisdom from the Holy Spirit before addressing the situation. Now, here's Pastor Bo as he begins his message, A Devoted Father.
The book of Genesis, chapter 18. A Devoted Father is the title of my message. A Devoted Father. Do we have any good pictures of fathers in the Bible? So I turned to study, and we do have a lot of good examples of what I'm calling my message today of devoted fathers. We have moments in God-fearing men's lives who do things, acts at different times in their lives that definitely are indicators of their devotion to God and then to their children as their father. And so I want to sort of zoom in and grab those moments. And you know your pastor, I had 7 of them prepared. So we're going to do 3 today, okay? We're going to do 3 because I tried to do all 7 and it just said, nope, we'd be here too long, all right? So we're going to do 3 today. But I want to start off with a quote, a wonderful Bible teacher that I've learned from through the years and appreciate very much, who's towards the latter days of his life, Chuck Swindoll, the great Chuck Swindoll. He has a wonderful quote about fathers, and I want to share it with you today as the beginning of my message. He says this, dads, watch this quote, get it. The acid test of a father's leadership is not in the realm of his social skills, his public relations, his managerial abilities at the office, or how well he handles himself before the public. It is in the home. In the home. So the gap, I think, is pretty wide for many Christian fathers today. And what I mean about that is the gap between sort of where a lot of us would be right now with our prior experiences, our current thoughts about what it is to be a father or what we think that behavior ought to be like according to biblical principles and the models then that we see in Scripture, and closing that gap. And that gap right there is the one I'd like to close. We sort of have our own thoughts and our own experiences, but then there's the Bible and how it does speak to this area, and that gap is what I want to try to speak to today in closing that. The passage of Scripture I'm going to share with you today, or passages, I should say, provide a vision of biblical principles for you and I to follow in being devoted fathers who exalt Jesus Christ. So I am choosing to publicly speak to the fathers today in our service. But just know that all the mothers, women, wives, children, we're all learning, aren't we? When we hear what the Word of God has to say about this subject. So we don't do this very often, and it's necessary. I think it's a great thing to do it at church on Sunday, not just in small groups or something like that. I think it's great for the body of Christ to hear what the Word of God has to say in these key areas of life. And so this one is one of those. But first, before I get into those principles, I want to do something. I want to address Ephesians chapter 6, verse 4. Okay? You're like, sure, whatever you want to do, Pastor, you're the one preaching today, right? But I want us to take a moment at the beginning of the message and really get a good understanding of Ephesians 6, 4, and then go through and catch some of these principles. Here is Ephesians 6, 4. Fathers, Paul, speaking in the book of Ephesians, already about the Spirit-filled life, already about God's glory in the first chapter, huge things. Then he moves through the epistle. It gets really practical towards the end. He starts talking about husbands and wives, the church in relation to the church, and how that's an example of the relationship that Christ has with the church. And he starts to get real down into family relationships and even work relationships, how employers and employees should work together. So here's where he begins to address in the home. He addresses in right there in verse 4, after talking about children, obey your parents. Amen. Right after children obey your parents, then it's fathers. So something happens right there. When he goes from children obey your parents in verse 1, 2, 3, and then right into verse 4, fathers, something's happening. I just want us to be reminded of this. Some of you know this already. Some of you might be hearing it for the first time. Many of you have forgotten it. The man, the husband, the father, is the fountainhead of authority in the home. See, nobody likes to hear that. Nobody likes to hear it. But it's the truth. So we have to orient our thinking to the truth. No matter where we're at on that, issues we have, past experience, all this kind of stuff, the bottom line is the way God has ordained life on planet Earth, when it comes to the family, is the father is the starting point of domestic authority in the home. Fathers, so it starts with him. That's why Paul goes to the fathers. He starts with the fathers. Fathers, do not provoke. So fathers, please hear the word of God today and allow the Spirit to minister to you and to me. Do not provoke your children to anger, to wrath. Older translations will say the King James, I think, says it that way. Don't provoke them. But instead, Paul says, and I'll explain to you what that means more in a minute, bring them up. So fathers, please start wrapping your mind around that understanding. Picture that. Do not provoke your children to anger, but bring them up in the discipline and the instruction, not of your ways. See how we miss it? We're too quick. Yeah, but my dad, that's not what the Word of God says. Yeah, but my grandfather, that's not what the Word of God says. Yeah, but what I've learned, that's not what the Word of God says. We are to bring them up in the discipline and the instruction of the Lord. Don't read too fast. Slow down. Make sure we get it. So fathers, the authority in the home, it starts with you. You just need to know that. You need to know also, I do too. I learned a lot in preparing for this message. That you are more prone to strong and barely controllable emotion in relation to your children. You need to know that about yourself as a father. You are prone to that. Something about that, being a father with your children, you are just easily prone to having very strong and almost uncontrollable emotion towards your kids. Any dads agree with that? Nobody's, okay, you raised your hand. All right, good guys in here, real guys. That's good. So you can sense it already when I say it that way, because you can relate to it. Now that's different compared to the mother, isn't it? So the father, that would be our weakness. Our weakness towards the kids would be like, our emotions can just really go fast towards them. The mother's would be to overindulge the child, to really dote and care and just keep giving to the child. And the father's like, stop giving, woman. And, you know, and the mother's like, oh, no, endlessly. I have an endless supply, you know, of nurture and of feeding, you know, of that thing that you're trying to stop or whatever, you know. So those are the weaknesses kind of on both ends. Now, I want to say something up front that I have learned through the years. It's not just my own. That's not just me saying that. You see it in the book of Ephesians. I've just seen it worked out or not worked out in the Christians' lives in the church. And I want to say something to you right here. This is why you and I need to be filled with the Holy Spirit. That's what Ephesians is talking about when it finally gets to that point. That's already been addressed. And then he's getting into the practical stuff towards the end of the letter. So I want to just still grab that, bring it into what I'm trying to say to you right now. It's not just, that's not something you're supposed to self-manage. I want you to know that about yourself. The fathers primarily is who I'm talking to today. I want you to know that about yourself, guys. We are strong. We have a strong and a barely controllable emotion at times towards our children. Well, Bo, what am I supposed to dock it up with? That's who I am. What am I going to do? You need the Spirit of God to help you. You need to surrender that passion to the yielding of the Holy Spirit. You need the Spirit's help. So remember, as we talk about that as a church, what I always try to remind us of is that's coming underneath the authority of the Holy Spirit. It's submitting my will to His will in the moment. So that's a moment by moment thing in life. I continually need to be filled with the Holy Spirit. And so when the moments come, I die. When I want to rise up, I die. And I surrender to the Spirit's influence, the Spirit's power, the Spirit's help and supply to give my body and mind and will what it needs to rightly respond in a godly way as God's representative to my children of Him to them. So that would be more of the Lord at that point. Now we're moving in that direction. Okay, so do not provoke. In other words, do not irritate your children, dads, all right? Don't irritate your kids. Don't irritate them to wrath or to anger with what, Bo? How can I irritate my kids? Well, it would be unreasonable demands. This is actually what this means when you take the words apart in the original language and we transfer them over into words we would use to interpret it. It's unreasonable demands. When I provoke my child or I irritate them to the point of anger or wrath, it's because I am placing demands on them that are just unreasonable. Or I am blaming them in an unreasonable way. I'm casting too much blame. I'm being too blame focused on them. It's too much. And it irritates them, not in a good way, in a bad way. It brings them to a point of anger or wrath. And fathers are not to do that. We're to understand this and then not do it. Do not provoke also means, has to do with an undue harshness, just being too harsh toward our children. Don't do that. Do not irritate your children with an undue harshness. It also means with a constant nagging. Constant nagging. So do not provoke your children by just constantly being on them, him or her, about that thing that you already mentioned or already talked about previously. And maybe you put a pretty good period on it, but you just keep ding, 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 ding. You know, it's just going to drive them to a point of where it's going to be counterproductive. You know, it's going to kind of flip back the other way. So constant nagging. And then also, this one touches home for me. I mean, they all do, but this one does especially. And it is having, the words that were used were an uncertain temper. An uncertain temper. Now, I can explain that to us so we can get it. It just means an unpredictable temper. And if you've ever heard any of your family, your wife or your kids or anyone close to you say something like, I don't know who I'm going to get today, you know, You said it this way last week, and now it's this way today, or yesterday you were like this, and now today you're like that. That's a way that we provoke our kids. That's a way that we irritate them, or we bring them to that point of anger or wrath is when we're not steady, but we're different too much. Our temper varies. We're uncertain. We're unstable. See, they're trying to get a fix on us. They look to us, fathers, as an anchor. And so when that stable, fixed position in their life is kind of moving around, it's hard for them then to receive from you and obey you, and they want to please you. But so they're looking for that target, and we have a tendency to move it around on them. That's why Paul says it that way. Do not provoke your children, and that's what it means. Now, why? if you're of that type, and I am, you always want to ask questions to the Bible when you're studying it and learning it. Why? Okay, it's great teaching, but why? What if we didn't? What's the counter? What's the other side to that? Here it is. It's because you will cause the child to become discouraged. That's what will happen. So, Father, it's just good for us to learn this. Colossians chapter 3, verse 21 is really the verse that goes with Ephesians 6, 4. Fathers, do not provoke your children. We studied that. We understand now what that means. Lest, here's the answer to the why, they become, do you see it there? discouraged. Now, maybe you haven't been discouraged before. I have. I have been discouraged, and I have been discouraged as the result of trying to please others. And it can be very discouraging, very hard to get out of and bring yourself together after and keep going again. You're discouraged. We don't want to do that, right, as fathers? No, that's not what we don't want to cultivate discouragement in the hearts of our child. That breaks our heart to think that we would have done that to them. So that's why we learn like this from the Word of God. Now we know the answer to the why. Why not provoke your children to anger or to wrath? Well, because when you do, when you're unreasonable or your temper's uncertain or those demands are too high and too much and all those sorts of things, you are discouraging the child. The child's getting a discouraged disposition, and that's going to be very difficult to undo, to get out of that. So rather, children should be brought up in the discipline and the instruction of the Lord. Discipline and correction, it might be verbal and it might be corporal. Instruction means warning, rebuke, reproof. So all of this bringing them up should be done in the Lord. In the Lord. That is, all of our ways that we instruct them, all of our ways that we discipline them should be carried out in accordance with His will as revealed in the Bible by you and by myself, who must be Spirit-filled and therefore can act as the representative of God towards our children. Sometimes Cheryl and I will say something like, we're not perfect at all this stuff. Sometimes Cheryl and I will say something like, do you want to deal with them right now? You know, because we sort of look at each other as Spirit-filled Christian moms and dads, just look at each other and go, who's the most Spirit-filled right now? You know, should be the one who goes and does this, you know? So, and we'll alternate sometimes, you know, who's going to deal with what. But if we are unwilling to do this, fathers, I'm talking to fathers when I talk about instruction and discipline. Some of you might give instruction, but there's not any corrective action. Some of you may be too hard on the corrective action without the instruction. The biblical desire here, what God is after, is this fathers being able to instruct their children with discipline as it's necessary, as you go along. The one example I would like to use, that if you're unwilling to do that, take a look at Eli and his sons in the Old Testament. And you'll get a picture of what happens when a father, a God-fearing spiritual father in the ministry, just forsakes the consequences aspect, the disciplinary aspect, and the instruction. He didn't really do much instruction. He did a little, and it could be questioned even how substantive it was. He just kind of said things, but he never really said the right thing, corrected them the right way. There wasn't any built-in consequences or corrective action or anything. See, if you love your children, you'll discipline them. I hope that was received well. Like, if you love them, you'll do that. It's to the father that doesn't do that that we could question the love of the father towards the child. Because for the child that should be able to just do whatever the child wants is someone, there's other things there. Could be fear of the child, fear of messing up. They've gone through things in their own life and they don't want to mess up their child. So they might have some reasons that need to get worked through, talked about. But understand, it comes from a place of love. Anybody ever had your parents say that to you? This hurts me more than it hurts you. You know, sort of thing. You know that's not true, right? So what is the vision now? I want to transition from Ephesians 6:4. I just want to lay that out there for us. Give us that Ephesians 6:4, fathers. You need to see that passage. I'm trying to pastor you well. I know that's a key text for a father. You need to understand that verse of scripture and be able to obey it and live it out in a way that's pleasing to God. And there's other great men in this church to talk to about that as well. Older men you can learn from. So let's transition a little bit now into the bulk of my message. The vision for bringing them up. How do we bring them up? What does being a devoted father who exalts Jesus Christ, because that's what we're after, guys, right? We're trying to exalt Jesus Christ with our fathering. That's what we're after. Catch that. We're trying to exalt Him in our fathering. Okay, so in this message, I want to show you at least three examples of devoted fathers in Scripture. Here's the first one. It's Jacob. Okay, we're going to learn a little something from Jacob. Jacob's a deceiver, yes, if you know your Bible and you know about Jacob, but we see some windows into these guys' lives where we can pick up on some devotion that they had as fathers that transfers to today, some principles. Here's this one. Jacob does something. He commands his household at one point in Genesis 35, verse 2, to put away all the idols. That's a good father right there, at least in a moment. at least that moment, is the sign of a devoted father. And I want to bring this to us, fathers, as a church. I want to bring this to us. This command that he issues to his household, that all of the idols in this place have got to go. If there's anything in our family that's between us and God, it's out of here. Genesis 35, verse 2. So Jacob said to his household and to all who were with him, quote, put away the foreign gods that are among you. Do you see that? Put them away and purify yourselves. And he says, change your garments. There's a lot going on there in one verse. Put away all the foreign gods that are among you. Now, for Jacob's family, and at this time of transition in their life, and I know I'm just jumping in using this verse and helping you see it, it's a topical message. I'll give you a little bit of what's happening. There needed to be a cleansing in his family's life. They're getting ready to move, make some movements. And before they do that, there needed to be some cleansing. The cleansing needed to be from something specific, and it is the defilement that comes from idolatry. So it wasn't just get rid of the thing. It was also by getting rid of the thing, the need to cleanse ourselves of the defilement that came from the presence of that thing in our lives. So it's not just for him and for us. It's not just the removal of it. It's also the need to, yes, get rid of it, but also have a cleanup sort of job in the heart, in the life, spiritually. There needs to be a renewal, a cleansing. And so there is this cleansing from the defilement that has come. That's the crazy thing about idolatry, anything that stands between us and God, anything we set our affections on that's between us and God, anything we love more than Jesus Christ moment by moment is an idol. The thing that's crazy is it can be defiling you and you might not realize it at the time because you've been defiled by this thing, setting your heart on this thing and being sort of devoted to whatever it might be. There's myriad of things we could call idols. It's just anything that's between us and God, something that has our thoughts, something that has our affections more than Jesus Christ. Could be golf, could be girls, could be, I mean, just sports. It's just, it's a zillion things. I mean, that's kind of a silly example, but there are things in life that can be so a focus for us. Your vocation, money, things about your family. It could be a desire of some kind that you have. You have an ideal picture in your mind of life as it ought to be, and it's an idol for you. You're devoted to that. Okay, so there needed to be a cleansing from the defilement of idolatry, and there needed to be a fresh consecration to the Lord of the heart. So the heart needed a cleansing, and it needed a consecration, which is just a devotion fully to the Lord, set apart for him. So Jacob wanted nothing to divert his family's spiritual focus. So fathers, great message for us right there to work out, talk about, be real with. Do you, as a father of my home, want nothing to divert our attention, our family's attention, from the spiritual focus that this family ought to have? Is that even a desire of mine? If not, allow the Word of God and the Spirit of God to start cultivating that in your heart right now. And then begin to enter back into your home life and say, you know what? There are some things that are between us and God. We are not a very spiritually focused family. We don't really care much about the spirit, the spiritual side of who we are as individuals and as a family. And I think we ought to change that. That's right, Dad. You got a lot of power right there.
We're glad you joined us for today's edition of Truth That Transforms with Pastor Bo DeFrena. This broadcast comes to you from Melbourne, Florida, but we'd love to connect with you wherever you are. These messages can be found on our website or via podcast. Our website is trinitychurchmlb.churchcenter.com. You can also get a hold of us through social media, Facebook or Instagram. There's much encouraging content for you to find through those avenues. If you go to our website, you'll find those icons at the bottom of the page. That's trinitychurchmlb.churchcenter.com. Much valuable information is there for you, including our phone number and email. But we'll give you that here as well. Our number is 321-676-8992. If you need to hear it again, that's 321-676-8992. Our email address is info@mytrinitychurch.life. We desire for each of our listeners to be walking in a way that expresses their devotion to God, and that others would see that lived out. We're praying this ministry would be just one piece of that process as you go about your day. We're looking forward to connecting with you in the next edition with Pastor Bo. Until then, keep the things you've heard today close to your heart and mind, and recall them through the day and week. We hope today is a day that your witness will bless those around you. Thanks for listening, and come back for more. This has been Truth That Transforms.
Jesus Christ.